Come on now, gather around, glad you could join us. Spreading some love, just start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey, 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 welcome back, y'all, to Life Unapologetic with Athena, where we live unapologetically unashamed. I'm super excited to be blessed to be back again with you all, bringing yet another episode. I'm excited to continue the conversation on books of destiny. We all have a book, and it is my prayer, my hope, my intent to communicate what God has been giving me to you about book of destiny, your book of destiny that will allow you to access and unlock opportunity to live in purpose, on purpose. So without further ado, I want us to go ahead and jump into Book of Destiny and Purpose Part 2, which is now going to be a four-part series opposed to a three-part series. So I pray that you get as much as I've been getting out of this. Without further ado, let's jump on in.
Hey there, welcome back to this three-part series called Book of Destiny and Purpose. This is part two. I did part one yesterday. I privately recorded it, y'all. And that's not what God told me to do. He told me to go live. And so I'm just going to be obedient. My little heart's going pitter-patter. Most of you know that I am not afraid of the gospel, and I am sure enough not afraid to share God and to share what he is to me. This is a little bit different in the sense of obedience and walking out something that I have been walking out for some years now. But in this season, 2021, today, what are we, June 18th, it's a little bit different. And so I'm a bit determined to walk this thing out in transparency, in vulnerability, and all of what that looks like. And so God has been really dealing with me on my book of destiny as it relates to purpose. And in this season that I've called a season of transition, really just trying to identify with God, how do I live in purpose, on purpose? Like, how is every step that I take and everything that I do within the will of God for my life, number one, but number two, within the purpose that was predestined for my life? And we talked a bit of yesterday, just to recap in part one on substance. And we started with how David outlined in the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verse 16, how God saw our substance, right? He created all that we were to be physically, first and foremost. And in that, in our DNA, was all of our abilities, right? All of our skill sets, all of the things that we would be good at, and all of the things that we're not so good at. And so we talked about how those play such a significant part and how important they are in purpose, right? As you're seeking purpose. And so, you know, it all started with this photo that really just kicked off this really prophetic situation that I'm in. And in this photo, we have Ezekiel, and he's kind of in a vision, right? Seeing some things that God is showing him about Israel, learning some things about God's glory, and some things about the present and some prophetic things in the future. But what God has been dealing with me outside of that prophetic word is the components, the symbolism of the things in this photo as it relates to where I am now and where I'm trying to go. One of the biggest things that have to do with this three-part series is that scroll that is in the hand of what I believe is God to me in this photo. That scroll represents the book of destiny. That scroll represents what David talked about in Psalms 139 and kind of what I will be discussing as I walk through this thing with you guys and just kind of leave this photo up as something to kind of marinate. And so, yeah, part one was yesterday was about our DNA, was about our substance, our physical makeup. And we ended that off with a really strong prophetic prayer, prophetic word over your lives that I pray that God will begin to manifest in your lives. Now, I want to say that part of that prophetic word was that we would dream again. For those of us who don't dream, for those of us who dream prophetically, for those of us who dream but don't fully understand our dreams, part of that prophetic release was that you would begin to dream and dream with God, dream big dreams, because dreams are so prophetic and so full of insight. And I must say, I have been dreaming more than I've ever dreamed before. I always say I'm not a dreamer. I just, you know, I don't know if I've been blocked or I can't sleep deep enough to dream, but I have definitely been having some dreams and definitely documenting those dreams and sharing them when felt necessary or led with a good sister of mine who is a seer and is very well versed in dream interpretations and just kind of seeing what God is saying. So let's jump into part two of Books of Destiny and Purpose. I am super stoked about this because what God is asking me to do on this live today, as well as the next one coming up, as well as whatever else he tells me to do, is to just really walk this out in real time. Too many times when it comes to social media or when it comes to our faith or when it comes to what we're going through or when it comes to what we're building, we want to walk it out in private. And then we want to show up with a finished product. We don't want to walk it out when it sucks because then, you know, we can't show the world that we got it all well put together. So I want to be obedient to God and just really walk this thing out in the Publix. And so part two, the second part of this three-part thing that I'm doing here, it has to do with our span of our life and what we're to accomplish in that time. We all are predestined to live on earth for however long God says we are to live. You know, what I learned about like a Western mentality or perspective versus a linear or a Hebrew type of mentality or perspective is that we live in a way where we're always at the beginning or the end, right? And we're somewhere in the middle. And you know, we have this idea of by our mid-70s, we may be going out. So we want to have retirement set up and vacation homes and bucket lists and all of these things in preparation for the inevitable. But I believe that the people of God, the Hebrews, the way that they used to live and think, and I'm still learning about this, is that they were more linear. They were more on the spectrum of what is called Kairos time. And that's kind of eternity. That's kind of supernatural. That's kind of ongoing, right? There is not necessarily an ending to the journey. And so when we think of our book of destiny and we think of our purpose, we have to begin to think and to look at it in a way of this ongoing journey that God is trying to teach us things. And in the midst of teaching us things and pouring into us and giving us downloads and giving us revelation and clarity and breakthrough, that this journey, it is a continuation on all of the things that we've experienced up until this point. And so we are told that the days were fashioned for us before there was any of them, right? So in Psalms 139, David talks about how these pages showed that everything about us was already written down. It was already predestined before we even came to be. And so that means that there was a significance as it relates to time, right? And that significance as it relates to time is important because it means that there are things that we need to accomplish, and that we don't have necessarily the luxury of time in the natural to assist in manifesting the things that need to come forth from the spirit or the spiritual realm. And so again, as we were talking about earlier in part one, I think it's super interesting that it doesn't say weeks, months, or years. It says days. Or the details and specifics of our lives, right? So as David is talking about, he doesn't give like a time span. It just says the days of our lives were laid out before you. God is not just in charge of what I like to call the big picture, but he's also helping us in our daily lives to fulfill what is written in our books. And this, for me, as I was reading that part of scripture of days, it was huge for me that God, you are involved in the everyday part of our lives. You are involved in the day to day. You are involved in the practicality of our lives. And so I began to really say, God, what does that look like for me on a day to day basis? What is it that you have or you are desiring or you are wanting of me to do day by day? What does my purpose look like in the everyday? I think for me, I have always been so caught up in working. I love to work at heart. Like I go hard for work. I go hard for my job. I go hard at times with employers. And that hasn't always panned out well for me. I've been very blessed in jobs and in the career that I've had, but the grace has never lasted in a way to where I feel satisfied. And so in this particular season, I'm really asking God, what am I doing? Because the day-to-day has not aligned with what I feel my purpose is. And that's not good enough for me at this point in my life. We who believe in God and we who are faith-based, we who say we have a relationship with God, I think we can attest to one another that we're always desiring the more and not feeling full, at least for me. And so my question to God is, what is the more for me? And in the things that I do, whether it's to provide or whether it's to feel accomplished, what does that look like in you? So every day, we should surrender our lives to God. That's first and foremost. And that has been challenging for me because that consists of trust, that consists of humility, that consists of consistency and discipline. And consistency and discipline, I think, are difficult for every human. I think trust in a lot of areas for a lot of us, it's difficult because of past experiences. So while we say we trust God, I believe that if that were to be tested by the fire that God talks about in the word that burns up everything but what is true, some of us would be really charred, and I'm just speaking for myself. So I'm definitely in this season of transition looking to trust God in truth, like behind closed doors and in front of the door. I want to divinely and purposefully and entirely and wholly trust God for my day to day and what that purpose and my destiny looks like. And so I believe that every day we should surrender our lives to his purpose, to his will, so that we are living in purpose on purpose. There may be a day that shifts us into a part of our destiny that, if missed, can be catastrophic. I believe that when we are not walking in our purpose, when we are not walking in the thing that God predestined us to do, whatever that looks like. Yesterday, we talked about how ministry isn't always a church building or a related function, but that there are things in the marketplace, in the jobs that you do work, or in the companies that you build, or in the products that you create, that are the vehicles and the substance in the natural to get the will of God done that needs to be done in the earth. It's those things that we partner with the Holy Spirit on to create and to invoke and to walk through that is purpose filled for us to walk that thing out in the earth. And so when we miss our opportunities to carry these things out, one thing about entrepreneurship is consistency is key. I struggle there. Discipline is key. I struggle there. And so if you're going to have a product or you're going to start a business that you're not constantly feeding, that you're not constantly working on, that you're not constantly innovating, that you're not constantly pouring into under the direction of the Spirit of God, it will suffer. I've witnessed that. I'm living through that. For me, the missed opportunities haven't been necessarily catastrophic for me, but they've been catastrophic for the people that I'm called to serve, for the people that I'm called to pour into or help or pray for or support, because you fall off the scene. So God, give us grace and mercy so that we don't miss these important times of building and creativity that is for the purpose of someone else. I believe this is why the psalmist in Psalms, I think it was chapter 118, verse 22 through 24, he spoke of the day of the Lord have made. And so the scripture goes to say, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. And I was singing that song yesterday. And it wasn't because I wrote this piece. It was just, I was like, this is the day, you know, and it just felt good to sing that prophetically, just kind of, I was declaring some things. And so the day when Jesus, the rejected one, this was the one that they spoke of, the chief cornerstone, the rejected one, was declared and set as the chief cornerstone, was the day that the Lord had made. In other words, it was an appointed time. And we're talking about in part one being predestined, right? Before time, a time that was already planned out. So Jesus, our Savior, had an appointed time to become that chief cornerstone. And we know just by reading our Bible, if we do, that particular day changed the future of the earth and all of its inhabitants. The day that prophetic part of scripture and our journey in salvation, that day changed everything for all of us in so many ways. I mean, I'm doing a piece in the Spiritual Growth Academy about the ministry of Holy Spirit. And what's so amazing about the life of Jesus is that when he went away, right, when he went to heaven, the journey continued with the Holy Spirit. And it continued in such a way that we are able to do so much because of Jesus releasing the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to us. And as you learn about the Holy Spirit, you learn that there's so many different facets to who he is. And in those different facets or characteristics or traits that I like to call them, that are more of or known as the seven spirits of God, is that there's those different traits we have access to do things in the earth, purpose, destiny, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge and fear of the Lord, all of these different traits of Holy Spirit, we have the ability to tap into to move into purpose and destiny, to move into that new business, to move in and build that new product, to write that book, to create whatever that is on your heart, that you have been granted the skill set, the ability, and the talent to do. I love this. God also has days that he's made for me and for you. This is why it's so important for us to go after this book of destiny, to find out the purpose within it. I have come to realize that the days that God has made for you and I are strategic times when we should and we will, in alignment, when we're in alignment, shift into all that is written in that book. There is going to be a point in all of our lives as we go after this that we will begin to, I like to call, shift into the trajectory, the pathway that you know, it reminds me of a plane. I remember I was going back east, and the time frame to go there was faster than coming back. And I was kind of oblivious. I was like, why is it taking so long to come back versus going? And it was because the way back was against the wind. It was the trajectory would meet resistance. I believe that God wants us to go into a season of understanding our purpose and understanding from our book of destiny the trajectory that we are to go. And while we may be met with opposition, it's not going to be detrimental. How many of us are walking in seasons where we get hit with something from life and it wipes us out, or we get hit and it deters us, we get hit and we lose our tenacity, we get hit and we lose the desire to go after that thing that God has put in our heart? I believe that God wants that to change for us. I believe that the trajectory should propel us in the direction that we are meant to go, and that we will better understand as we go in this direction how to meet that adversity. I believe that wholeheartedly. These days, in Carol's time, these divine times, these opportunities that God is going and beginning, as we said in part one, in that prophetic word, that divine opportunities are right around the corner. You will know them when you see them. These opportunities cannot be missed. We cannot, and I'm speaking to myself first and foremost, we cannot continue to miss opportunities, to miss relationships, to miss partnerships because of fear, or because of a lack mentality, because of partnering with the spirit of mammon and poverty and all of these other things that tie and hold us down. These days we cannot miss. These opportunities we cannot miss. These days and opportunities are Kairos moments of God. Luke 19, verse 43 through 44 shows us that Jesus was telling the nation of Israel what was going to happen because they missed this kairos, or divine or eternal time of God. And he said, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side. I feel the spirit of God in here. It gets hot. And every level, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus and just reading his journey and reading the different stories that built upon his purpose, we see that so many people within those stories missed their time of visitation, walked next to him, walked past him, were in the vicinity of him, and missed opportunity. Those moments, they could never get back again. Some of those moments were catastrophic to who they would become. I think about the disciples that walked with God. And we read in the Bible, and this isn't even in part of what I wrote, but I'm going to go with the Holy Spirit. We read in the Bible where Jesus began to teach about communion. And we know that Jesus spoke in parables, and we know that without revelation or understanding, or even a willingness to understand, some of the stories in the natural sound horrible, make you think all kinds of things. And so when he began to talk about eating my body, cannibalism in their minds, and drinking my blood, cannibalism in their minds, So many of them walked away. So many of them left. I ain't doing that. Like, okay, I've done all of these things in your name, but that one thing I'm not doing. Like, I can't get down with that, because they did not understand or even have the willingness to stay the course to understand, and they missed their visitation. Okay, Father. And so those who got it continued on. And I pray that we're still doing communion today. I actually just did communion yesterday in prayer, and I'm trying to practice doing it every time that I pray. After I'm done praying, I've been really fighting some big things in prayer. And so I'm learning the huge importance of communion, doing it in the right heart posture, and understanding the power of doing it. And so, you know, we can't continue to miss opportunity. If we look at this word kairos, the word time that's related to kairos, time of God, or divine or eternal time of God, the word time in the Greek word is kairos, and it means an occasion or a set or proper time. So we normally think of a kairos moment as a time that God has ordained. In this time, you experience a breakthrough or a future you were meant for, right? So anytime that we have experienced, whether we know it or not, what's called a kairos time of God, or a ordained or purpose time of God, there has been significant change in our lives. And so if you've never heard that before, think back on your life when you needed something from God, or you weren't even expecting something, and something big or small happened. They don't always have to be these huge miraculous things, which they are, because it's God doing them. But sometimes it's just that momentary thing that you needed just to get to the next level, that are these divine times of God. There's also times where these times come and they do what they need to do unbeknownst to us, because we're not aware of God. And so I want to see more kairos time. I don't know about you, but this study makes me want more time. So we see that the nation of Israel, by not recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, missed their time of visitation. The result was a future God never intended for those people. How many people, my God, have passed away or have went on and missed their opportunity to be what they were created to be? You know, me and my mom went on a drive today to a lake because we wanted to be by water. And we passed by this cemetery, and I couldn't help but think that how many of those plots had people under them who missed opportunities after opportunities to be fully who they were meant to be. How many of us, even now, who are walking in life, who have woke up this morning, who have gotten dressed, who are finishing out our day even now, can honestly say that we are walking in purpose, and that every day that we wake up, we feel fulfilled? How many of us can say that? Even in recording this, I feel such a fulfillment of purpose, because I know it's what I'm created to do. But I've wasted so many days of not doing just this, because those days had to be filled with going after the bag, as they say, or chasing after the money, right? To the point where this purpose-filled activity suffered time and time and time again. This is the same thing that the children of Israel did each time in the story after story after story. And this is why that picture that you see of Ezekiel standing in front of these majestical beings and the throne of God was part of that prophetic word. And that photo represents times missed in God's grace, in God's glory. And so, because the children of Israel did not believe the revelation of who Jesus was, they lost what God intended for them. We know that part of them walked in the wilderness for 40 years and didn't go to the promised land because they missed the opportunity to prosper in the thing that God promised them because it seemed to elude them. So Jesus wept over the missed time and opportunity of the people he came to give his life for. And I believe that it's a continual desire on God's heart for us to not miss the next opportunity. And I pray that this speaks to someone's heart today to not miss the opportunity that you have. I'm trying to keep it at 30 minutes, y'all, but I'm going over. So let me hurry up because I don't want this to be as long as yesterday. We can miss these prophetic, these divine times of God. We too can miss that for which we were made and what is written in our books if we don't embrace the day that was fashioned for us before time began. So if we don't embrace this idea that there is a book called destiny, that there are pages that give us access to what we should be doing, we can miss these opportune times. So what I've learned about getting access practically is being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So what that looks like for me practically is every day going into my space that I've created to be with God, pray, to worship, to read a book, to read the Bible. Whatever I felt led in that time, I do. And in that, I become sensitive to the Spirit of God. And as I do that step every day, I make that time to be in that space, to visit, commune, talk with, worship, pray. I become more and more sensitive to His Spirit. Now, I fast as well. I add that in. Because denying the things that my body wants at times where I'm not going to die, it allows me to be clear. I do prayer early because it allows me to be clear of the distractions. I find practical ways when I do feel distracted in my thoughts to process through those so that I don't get sidetracked. So we have to be sensitive to God and to His Spirit in order to not fall into the trap that eludes us or the trap that diverts us from what God is trying to do. Also, the days being fashioned for us speaks of the length of time on earth. It also speaks of the purpose and destiny connected to those days. So each day is an opportunity to fulfill purpose, but each day is a day on our lives. My God, and this is so crazy because I was driving and I was thinking of age, and I don't know why it's odd, but I was thinking of past friends and how aged they looked, which made me reflect on my age. And I was thinking, God, while I don't look well aged, I'm not as young as I used to be. And how much time have I wasted out of purpose, not on purpose, not in purpose? And it just drove more of this prayer of just asking God more and more to reveal purpose to me, more and more to reveal destiny to me. I pray that this pushes you to do that as well. So God has ordained a length of our life so we can fulfill all that is written in our book. It is our job to discover what is in our book and to fulfill it. That's our job. We are to choose to go after it and then to fulfill it. I believe we will be judged when we stand before the Lord by how much of our book we fulfill. And listen, as I was in my prayer closet, I call it my strategy room sometimes. The Holy Spirit brought a parable to my mind when I thought about this, when I thought about judgment, because I hate the way I grew up being taught and learned about judgment, because it brings such a sense of condemnation that you don't even want to think about judgment. Like, you want to run from it. You don't want to think about that day. You think of even in the courtroom being judged, right? And the verdict or the outcome. And they're always so negative. But what does it look like if we're seeking after God and we're running after God and we're trying to do what God has asked us to do, and yet we still have to go through this process of judgment? Is it so bad? Well, let's look at this parable that Holy Spirit brought to my mind. A parable was in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. The one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went his way." God gave each one what they were purposed for. See, ability is purposeful. You have abilities that you have because it's within the purpose for your life, which is in your book of destiny. You are able to do certain things out of the ability and skill sets that come easy to you because it's part of your purpose. And God has entrusted those talents, abilities to you to go your way. Verse 16 says, "He who received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he who had made 2 more talents. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts." Judgment. All right, let's talk about it. How'd you do? Right? "And he who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He who also had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid," fear, manipulation, perversion of the enemy, "and I went and hid your talent in the ground. I hid what you gave me. I ignored what you gave me. I did nothing with what you gave me. I ran from what you gave me from because of fear, because of manipulation, because of perverse perspective, false lenses, lack of knowledge. Here you have what's yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Take what this one's not willing to do and give it to this one who has said yes, regardless of the fear and the challenge, because they have shown themselves responsible and dedicated to do what I've asked them to do. Let me give on to them more because they understand that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will help them carry the thing that I've called them out to do." They got that. So because I will help them do what I've called them to do, what they need to do, it will be done. There's no need to be fearful for whatever the reason is, because I've predestined this to be. And I said in my word that what I've spoken prophetically out of my mouth, it has to accomplish that thing that I've set it out in you to do." My God, that's good. That's good. "And so cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, I truly believe that being cast into this outer darkness is not necessarily all about pain or our painful burning, more so than it is about missed opportunity with God. It's a time where, have you ever been in a season of transition where you thought, I coulda, woulda, shoulda? And those thoughts drive you insane because you look back at all of the missed opportunity if they were divine, if they were part of purpose, and you could align them and be like, that was God. I missed it. That was God. I missed it. Could you imagine that being your eternity? That's what I believe this is saying, is the missed opportunities become our eternity. And my God, that has to be unpleasant. The Bible teaches that we will each stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:10. This judgment will not be based on whether we did good things, but I believe on whether we did the God thing for our lives, the purposeful thing for our lives. Did we fulfill what was assigned to us in our book? Did we seek it out? Did we search it out? This is so good, but I'm going to stop there because I believe that God doesn't want me to rush this thing, but I also believe that I don't want these things to be well dragged out. I want people to watch them and chew on them. I pray that this has blessed you. Father, we just thank you for even just this time. We thank you, Father, that you are teaching us about destiny and purpose and giving us little breadcrumbs and practical steps. I pray that you are speaking to the hearts of those that this is meant for, that they will begin to walk in purpose. I pray that I will continue the more learning to walk on purpose, in purpose. Father, we ask that you would remove any false perspective, any false attitude, any wrong heart posture, any ways, any actions that would hinder us from getting access to what's written about us, for us. I pray that we would get in a place with you in relationship, in reconciliation, through forgiveness and repentance, Father, that we can be sensitive to you releasing these things to us, whether they're prophetic words, whether they're subliminal moments, whether they're dreams or visions, whether they're people popping by, whatever that looks like, Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to your spirit to know when these opportunities are in front of us. And that not only will we be sensitive and know, but we will move within them. Father, we pray and ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, y'all. Listen, that's all I got. That's all I got today. I'm going to come back tomorrow. I guess it's going to be four parts because I'm not rushing this thing. But I pray that you've been blessed and you've gotten something out of this and that God can continue to do the more through your destiny and your purpose meant on the earth. I love you guys. Until tomorrow. Bye now.